The epistle to be read today for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to Galatians chapter 5. Brethren, we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be made desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, and if a man be overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you shall fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every one prove his own work, and so he shall have glory in himself only, and not in another. For every one shall bear his own burden, and let him that is instructed in the word communicate to him that instructeth him in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For what things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap. For he that soweth in his flesh, of the flesh also shall reap corruption. But he that soweth in the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And in doing good, let us not fail, for in due time we shall reap not failing. Therefore, whilst we have time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. In the Holy Gospel, it's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus went into a city called Nain, and there went with him his disciples and a great multitude. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a great multitude of the city was with her. Whom when the Lord had seen, being moved with mercy towards her, he said to her, "Weep not." And he came near and touched the bier, and they that carried it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is risen amongst us, and God has visited his people." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you shall fulfill the law of Christ. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Francis de Sales, the Bishop of Geneva, lived from 1567 to December 1622. And he is honored as a doctor of the Catholic Church. He is, in fact, the patron of Catholic writers. Besides his many practical works on the spiritual life, he became most noted for his gentle approach and charity, especially in dealing with heretics and sinners. And due to his true Christian charity, he converted and brought back to the faith thousands of souls. In fact, it is said that when he took over the diocese as bishop, most of it was Protestant. But when he died, it is said that not one Protestant could be found in the city, thus showing just how many thousands of souls he did convert. His motto was, "He who preaches with love preaches effectively." And so his goodness, patience, and mildness became well known to Catholics and non-Catholics alike. And he was especially kind in his reception of sinners and apostates who had returned to the faith. Blessed Francis would greet them with the warmth of a father, and he would say to them, "Come, my child. Come, let me hide you in my heart. God and I will help you. All I ask of you is not to despair. I will take upon myself all the rest of your burden." And his affectionate care for them also extended to their bodily wants. And so he often gave of his own money to help them materially as well. Now, when it was told that his generosity would only encourage sinners, he simply replied, "Has not our blessed Lord shed his blood for them? And should I not refuse them my tears? These wolves will be changed into lambs, and a day will come when cleansed of their sins, they will be more precious in the sight of God than we are." Just think, if Saul had been cast off by St. Peter and the other apostles, we would never have the great St. Paul. Now, there's a story that attests to this great charity for sinners that St. Francis de Sales had, and how he never liked to talk about the faults of others, but rather tried to change the subject. A certain lady had been guilty of a most serious fault, committed indeed through mere weakness of character, but nonetheless scandalous in the extreme. Blessed Francis, being informed of what had happened, and being told of every bad thing the unfortunate person had done, only said, "Human misery, human misery. Oh, how we are encompassed with infirmity. What can we do of ourselves but fail? And we ourselves would perhaps even be worse than this person, if God did not hold us by the right hand and guide us to his holy will." Now, he said this as if telling those around him to think of their own faults and not to judge this woman. But then the people tried to persuade him just how bad this person really was. And he only said, "Oh, happy fault. For you see, a great good will come from this fall. This lady's soul would have perished with many others," he said, "had she not lost herself. Her fall will be her great gain and the gain of many others." For you see, he was predicting that she would soon convert. And some of those who heard this prediction merely shrugged their shoulders. Nevertheless, it came true, and the sinning lady returned to the practice of the faith and gave even greater glory to God. She began a new life and frequented the sacraments. And the entire community, which she had scandalized, was now greatly edified by her, especially by her conversion and subsequent good example. Now, in today's epistle, my dear faithful, St. Paul points out the importance of charity amongst each other. He also shows us how humility must accompany the virtue of charity. For we cannot just think of ourselves and be charitable to others at the same time. For in order to show Christ-like charity, we have to put others before ourselves, and that takes great humility. St. Paul then continues to tell us not to be concerned about others' faults, but rather to work on ourselves. And so when we are offended by someone or something they did, immediately think of your own faults and failings. As St. Paul says, "Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. For if any man think himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceives himself." And then the epistle ends by stating that we must not lose any time, but rather we must begin now. Begin now to work on practicing true Christian charity. St. Paul says, "Therefore, while we have time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those of the household of the faith." Now, my dear faithful, this is what St. Francis de Sales laid so much stress upon when he directed souls in the spiritual life, to have a constant mutual charity amongst each other. And this is done in a very practical manner, as St. Francis de Sales and St. Paul both point out. That is, we must patiently bear with our neighbor's failings and faults. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you shall fulfill the law of Christ. The Apostle Paul emphatically recommends this mutual support, as did St. Francis de Sales, who stressed its importance to all he directed on the path of perfection. And he himself lived according to this rule throughout his life, and it directed all he did. He often said, "Today mine, tomorrow thine." He would often repeat these words to himself. And by this he meant, if today we have to put up with the temper or faults of our brother, tomorrow he will have to bear with our imperfections. And so he would often say, "Today mine, tomorrow thine." St. Francis taught that if we are to be perfect, we must bear with one another in our imperfections. For there's no better way of showing true charity and love of our neighbor. And if we show this forgiveness of our neighbor, God will be merciful with us. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And so, to help us be patient with the faults and imperfections of others, we should also refrain from judging others. Blessed Francis used to say that the soul of our neighbor was like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Paradise. And so we are forbidden to touch under pain of severe chastisement. That is, we are forbidden to judge others because God has reserved to himself the judgment of each individual soul. As it states in Scripture, "Who are you who judges thy brother? Do you not know that when you judge another, you condemn yourself?" And as St. Francis de Sales pointed out, more often than not, when someone condemns another, they themselves are more worthy of blame for not taking proper care of their own problems. These people are blind to what passes in their own homes, he would say, but are overzealous in scrutinizing all that happens in the houses of others. And yet, St. Francis says, our Lord forbids the judging of others and commands that we examine ourselves. And yet, we continue to fall into the same problem of doing the complete opposite. That is, judging our neighbor on all possible occasions and avoiding what is commanded of us, to judge ourselves, to think of our own faults. For this is the last thing we want to think of. Now, to help us forgive others and not to judge them, we should immediately try to excuse them. And we can always find some excuse for them. And if it is impossible to excuse the action, we can at least excuse the intention. Or we may lay blame on the violence of the temptation. We may attribute it to ignorance or to human weakness. Of course, we are neither praising or excusing the sin, but in this way we're being merciful to the sinner. And we can also immediately think of our own faults and failings when we are tempted to judge another. Let us then, my dear faithful, ever strive to increase our charity to our neighbor. Do this each day. Strive to be patient and bear with the faults and infirmities of others, as St. Paul says in today's epistle. For no matter how bad one may seem, they could probably be holier than ourselves, like the lady in the story with St. Francis de Sales. All the people were scandalized by her sin, but in the end, they were even more edified by her holy life after she had repented and changed her ways. And thus, we all have our own problems to fix. We don't have time to worry about the faults of others. Men who are curious in the lives of others are mostly careless about correcting their own faults. Where you see, the virtuous man is concerned with his own sanctification. And so, my dear faithful, as it says in the epistle for today's Mass, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. And therefore, while we still have time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those of who are of the household of the faith. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.